Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, well, welcome back, guys, to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And on today's episode, one of my friends said, would you please turn this quote of yours that you shared on social media into a podcast? The quote is this. A real Christian friend is someone who walks with you through difficulty, tells you hard biblical truths and love, and continues to do life with you. So they asked, would I expound on this idea? Because they said, you know what, this is really important, and it's going to help me if you would expound on that. So I thought, hey, you know what, that is a great idea. So I also want to say this, if you guys have ideas like that, where you think I should expound on something I've said in an article or a quote or something like that, let me know, and I'll take it, and I'll put that on my, I have a list of ideas and things, and I definitely want these episodes to be helpful for you, so let me know. So I'll read the quote again. A real Christian friend is someone who walks with you through difficulty, tells you hard biblical truths and love, and continues to do life with you. So let's talk about the real nature of Christian friendship and how we've been made friends with God. John 15:15 says this, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have been made known to you now. The context of this is so important because this is in John 15 is in a section starting in John 13, running through John 16. It's called the Upper Room Discourse, where Jesus is giving his disciples a seminary-level education. He's teaching them about, hey, this is what the Christian life is all about. This is what following me after I leave and I die and I rise and I'm at the right hand of God, this is going to be what life in the here is going to look like as you serve me. This is what it's going to look like. And so this is the context of the Upper Room Discourse, and John 15 starts out by talking about our union with Christ, how we are his and he is ours, and he is going to prune us, and he's going to make us not only useful servants, but effective servants as our character is transformed by our knowledge of Christ, because we belong to him and he belongs to us. And in this context of John 15, Jesus says this, in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You see, Jesus didn't not tell his disciples everything. He told them. He made it known. He spoke to them. He taught them. That's the very purpose of this Upper Room Discourse. Friends tell each other the truth. They walk with each other. Now, it's not a stretch to say this, but Jesus was with his disciples, you know, for 3 years. He'd walk with them. He taught them. He showed them his full authority as the Son of God and the Son of Man. They saw his miracles. They saw and heard his teaching. They saw the manner in which he addressed people. They saw the manner in which he cared for them and for others. He showed them what it meant to be a friend, you know. In Luke's gospel, Luke is especially concerned with this particular issue of knowing for certain, he says in Luke 1, chapter 1 of Luke's gospel. He writes that we might know for sure, that we might have assurance of our knowledge. In fact, Luke's gospel is structured much this way. First 9 chapters, all about this. About who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And then he turns in Luke 9:51, Luke does, and he focuses, he says, Look, Jesus is setting his face to go to Jerusalem. Where what will he do in Jerusalem? He's going to die. And what does he do in the remaining time before he dies? He teaches his disciples about life and ministry in the kingdom. That's exactly what John's gospel, the Upper Room Discourse, is doing. Jesus took time before he went to pay the penalty in our place and for our sin, to be buried and rise again and to ascend to the right hand of God, to teach his disciples the truth. As Christian friends, we need to be like Christ in this way. We need to walk alongside. We're not going to do it perfectly like Jesus, so don't hear me say that. We're going to do it very imperfectly. But we need to walk alongside one another. We have one, John's gospel also tells us about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Comforter comes alongside of us. He teaches us the truth from Scripture. He teaches us the truth about Christ in the Scripture. And he sends us out on mission. And that's every Christian. Every Christian has been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So if you're a guy, you can walk with another guy through difficulty. By the way, Titus 2 has this in mind as well. Older men teaching younger men. Now, you might think older men, that's like a 60-year-old guy, right? 70? Okay. Dave, you're 41. You're old to the 20-year-old or to the teenager. You're old. You're ancient. You're done. You're on your final descent, dude. You might as well just go into the, you know, to your burial spot, you know, to your graveside, to your grave. Like now, please. Right? Now, I joke with some of my friends, hey, you're pretty old, you know? But the reverse can happen to me with a teenager or somebody in their 20s or 30s. But those are the people that I, as somebody that's 41 now, I should be speaking to those that and helping those who are in their maybe late to early 30s and 20s and teens and so on, walking alongside them, teaching them, instructing them, coming alongside of them through their difficulty, through their challenges, because I've gone through them. I've walked through them. You see, this is the walk of faith. And I want to be careful here because I don't want to say it's about our feelings. It's about our experiences. We see enough of that today in the church. But we also need to come back and say something else as well. And something that's very true and very, very important. And that is that our faith is rooted firmly in the objective truth of Scripture. Scripture is reliable. It's trustworthy. It's for every phase and every aspect of our lives. It's clear and it's binding in our lives. But that word of God, the Scripture, it informs our feelings and informs our life as we live out and obey the truth of Scripture. And if there's never a living it out, if there's never actually, to use the words of 1 John, if there's never a walk of faith, of obedience, we need to ask if that is a real faith, as 1 John does. It gives us the litmus test for loving God. And 1 John is all about this idea, loving God and loving our neighbor and living it out. And not just our profession or with our mouths, but on our possession and in our working it out in a Philippians 1:29 way, in fear and trembling before the Lord. How are you doing at that? How are you doing it at walking this walk of faith out? And do you know that you have one in the Lord who's promised in Hebrews 13:5-9 to never leave you nor to forsake you? Now, I have also said, to be clear, we're not the Lord. We're not sinless. I'll never say that I am. You have no worries there. But as Christians, we are to walk alongside one another. Over 50 times in the New Testament, we are told to one another each other. This is walking alongside of each other, doing life with one another. And how can we do that if we're not friends with one another? And so that's what I mean. A Christian friend is somebody who walks with you through difficulty. They don't leave you. They don't just say, you know what, you did that thing, you did whatever, you hurt me, you offended me, you did these things. We don't gloss over those things in the midst of Christian friendship. We deal with those things, but we don't abandon one another when those things happen. We don't abandon each other when difficulty and hardship and grief and pain happen. Now, I want to be careful here because life happens. There's going to be times when people come and people go in our lives. We all know that. I'm not saying that you stay involved in everybody's life because, you know what? Maybe you moved away. You know, time is precious. You can't be involved in everybody's life. So don't hear me say that. Time is a gift. And we're to steward it well. And we will give an account for how we use it. But the issue here is, how are you doing? Do you have some close Christian friends that you are invested in? And how are you doing as a Christian friend? And are you walking with those friends or anybody, any Christian friend in your local church? That's where your friendship should be. And how are you doing at walking with them through their grief, through their loss, through their pain, through their struggles, through their temptation? Do you even know that what those things are? Or do you just put your blinders on and pretend that you're the only one that has any hurt and any pain? In Galatians 6:1, we're actually told that because of the great commandment, we are to bear each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, which, by the way, is the great commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. How are you doing at that in your friendships with other people in your local church? If you're a guy, how are you doing at that with other guys? If you're a lady, how are you doing at that with other women in your local church? And with other, if you're a guy, with other men that you know, Christian men that you know, and ladies, how are you doing at that with other Christian women you know? Or are you not doing it at all? We need to walk with each other through difficulty. We need one another. That's why the one another passages are there. In Ephesians 4:15, we're told to speak the truth in love. Love is the head of the fruit of the spirits in Galatians 5:22. In fact, if you read Paul's love, is it all over the place. It is to exemplify. It is to give shape to the Christian life. As I mentioned, 1 John, very concerned, not just that we know the truth of the love of God in Christ, but how is it being worked out in the daily stuff of our lives and our relationships with one another, you see. So the Christian friend first walks with you through difficulty because they have one in Jesus who walks with us. So we walk with one another through difficulty. And then we have this Christian friends not only walk with us through difficulty, they tell us hard truths in love. You know, my wife is very good at this, especially when I need it. But she's also really good when I need comfort. We need friends who know the difference. They know when we need to hear the hard words. Hey Dave, guess what? You're really being a doofus here in this area of your life. You need to repent because what you said there, that wasn't quite right. Or you know what? What you said there was this, but I think what you meant is this. Oh, you know what? You're right. We need to tell each other the hard things. We, the kind of friends who are going to come alongside of us and are walking with us, and they're invested in us. And so when they tell us the hard things, we're going to listen. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that you're going to like it. And by the way, when you say hard things, you better have prayed. And you better have read your Bible. And you better have taken the log out of your own eye. You better be living it out yourself. And you can even admit, you know what, brother? I don't live this out perfectly. But you know what? Here's some things that I've discovered or I've learned or I am learning or I'm growing in. And I see this in your life as well. And so there's always, when we're telling each other hard things, there's always, always, always humility. There's never the sense in which I've arrived. I'm superior over you. I'm at your same level. I'm with you. I'm walking alongside of you. That's why accountability, I say, is not foremost a finger in the face. It's an arm around the shoulder. It's an, hey, you know what? Let's do this together in love. And let's be humble about it as we're doing it. Because who among us wants to experience and be in a friendship with somebody that has it supposedly all figured out? And now I need to say something else, because, you know, that's not to suggest that, you know what, if you have a formal theological education, you know things. You speak from a place not of learning, you speak from a place of knowing, like me. But there is still, as I say, one time I'll never forget it. I'm in my office, the office of my dear mentor, former pastor who passed away from COVID stroke complications. This was many years ago now. And he was telling me something, and then he smiled and said, "Dave, I know that you already know this." And I said, I was apparently in a good mood, or I was of sound mind, and my thoughts were about me. And I said, in that moment, I said, "You know what, brother, the choir needs preaching to. The choir needs preaching to. You know what that says? I need what you have to offer me. Yeah, you know what? I know it. I can tell you the truth. We can sit there and go back and forth for a long, long, long time. When my wife and I go on long drives to Idaho, or even up to Washington, which is 5 hours, to Idaho it's about 9.5 hours. We'll have long, protracted conversations for hours at a time, several hours. And then, you know, she wants to read and I want to listen to music or a podcast or something. And then we'll come back to it. Take that time too with your spouse to talk about the things that are on your heart and on your mind. Have those difficult, challenging conversations when you have that protracted time. But do that in your friendships too. Have those hard conversations but then be open. Hey, you know what? I might not be understanding this correctly. Can you clarify what you mean here? And what this does, when I have a hard conversation with somebody, I'll usually start out by saying something like, "Hey, you know what? I heard you say this. Can you just clarify for me what you meant by that?" And what this does is it gives the person an opportunity. It gives them an opportunity to clarify. "Hey, I heard that you said this. Did I hear you right there? Did I read you right there? You know, if it's an article in a book or in a sermon or a podcast, did I hear you right when you said?" And then you say, "Well, can you clarify what you meant there?" This is much better than saying, "You know what, Dave, you said this." Wow. This immediately puts the person on defense. And then what it does is you're going to get a defensive response. That's why you got to pray if somebody does that with you, and respond in love, and think about how are you going to respond and clarify. "Hey, my when somebody does that with me, I'll say, "Hey, just to clarify, what I meant to say, what I meant there was this. This is why I wrote this quote, whatever it is, above the podcast, because," see, use a very specific example. "This is why I wrote this quote above this podcast, because, you know, I'm trying to get you to understand, hey, this is what this is about. And then this is a new podcast from a theology segment where I answer people's questions, or this is a little bit short description. And, you know, if you want to watch it, listen or watch it at the link below," or something like that. And sometimes, like online, I'll get these comments and they'll go on and on and on about what they think. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay to add thoughts. But what's better, a better way to engage the person who took the time to make the content. "Hey, that was a really good, great content. I really appreciated that episode," or whatever. "Or I really appreciated that quote," or "I really appreciated, you know, that, message or article or book or whatever. you know, I had some thoughts in addition to that that I wanted to share. This way you're showing the person who took the time to post it, hey, yeah, I considered what you had to say. I had a few additional thoughts as well. What ends up happening oftentimes is people just end up commenting on stuff. And I see this all over and over again on social media. And there's no real engagement. You don't show the person, hey, I actually considered what you said and I heard you. And then I want to add some thoughts to that because I was thinking about it. You got me thinking about it, or I've been thinking in general, and I appreciate what you said, but I wanted to share something else as well. This shows, this speaks the truth in love. And what I see online, to be honest with you, and this relates to Christian friendship as well, is we're just talking past each other. We just want somebody to hear what I have to say. But in real Christian friendship, we tell the hard truths in love. We don't just tell the truth, we tell it in love. And by the way, Ephesians 4:15 is a command. It's a command made possible because of the grace of God, because of the finished and sufficient work of Christ, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not an option to obey. We are to speak the truth in love. If we go over and over all these passages in the New Testament about how we're to speak, by the way, it'll blow your mind. Because in almost all of them, there is love. We're supposed to tell the truth in love. Not just tell the truth, but to tell it in love. How are you doing that in your own relationships? Do you start with, hey, you know what? You said so-and-so said this, or you said that. Or instead, do you say, hey, you know what? I heard you say this, or I've seen you engage in this. Why is that? So we're constantly trying to give the benefit of the doubt and to seek clarification before we assume a motive, because you know what? We're nobody's personal Holy Spirit. We cannot see into the mind and the heart of individuals. Only God can. But we can see the behavior. We can see the words. We can examine the fruit. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we can't see into the inner heart. We can see a window through the fruit, but we can't see the heart. We don't know the real motivations. So we better ask, what did you mean by that? Let's not put one another on the defense immediately. We shouldn't. But I, over and over again online, in the church, I have seen Christians. We are really, really bad at this. Been a Christian over 30 years. In the church ministry, outside of it, we put each other on the defense. We're supposed to speak the truth, yes. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. And that means that we speak the truth in love. We don't put one another on the defense. Now, at times, speaking the truth in love is going to offend people. And we're going to have to work through that with somebody. And we're going to, again, have to clarify. Hey, this is what I meant. I didn't mean this that you said. I meant this, just to clarify. And we do it all in love. We work through the hard things. And by the way, what this does is it builds trust. It builds trust not only walking with each other through difficulty, but telling each other hard biblical truths and having those hard conversations rooted in the truth of God's word and in love. It builds trust. It deepens our bond in our local churches with one another. And so that we'll share even more of our lives with one another, more of our hurts, more of our pains, more of our struggles. The last point I have for you, since I camped on that one for a long time, the last one I have for you is we continue to do life with you. Remember I said a real Christian friend is someone who walks with you through difficulty, tells you hard biblical truths and love, and continues to do life with you. That understands that we have remaining sin. That acknowledges the 50 one another or so passages, the one another passages. That I need you and you need me, we need Christ. As Charles Spurgeon said, I have great need of Christ and a great Christ for my need. And I take that a little bit step further, saying we not only have a great need of Christ and a great Christ for our need, but we have a great need of one another and for Christ in all of it. We're in need of grace. We're in need to be humble. And this is why we continue to do life. We don't abandon people. You know, there might come seasons of our lives where we might move away, as I mentioned. And so we're not as close with somebody. But that doesn't mean that we're uninterested in that person that we were a church member with in another state or so on and so forth. Just because I don't comment on their post or text them or let them know that I'm thinking about them doesn't mean that I don't care about them any more or less. It just means in my current context, I may not have the capacity. I might not have the time, might not have the ability to do it, to send that text, to send a message, to someone make that phone call. And that's okay too. But in our current context, in our local church where we're talking about in friendship with one another, we need to be honest. We need to pursue one another in love. We need to tell the truth in love. We need to continue to walk with each other, not just, you know what, that guy, you know what, it's those, as one of my, I mentioned my mentor, Mike, he calls those people sandpaper people. We need those people. Those are the people that God's going to use greatly in your life to refine you, to buff you. And that's not fun. And I remember another conversation that where he told me this. He said, Dave, you know, pray for that guy that you're having problems with. On the ride back, I prayed. Drive back home from church that night after teaching and having a leadership meeting and so on and so forth. I prayed for him. I could tell right away God was going to transform me. In the midst of dealing with those sandpaper people, those difficult people in your life, at work, and so on, pray for them. And you know what you're going to find? What I found is a difficult person is looking you in the mirror. And what that'll do is it'll give you a whole lot of perspective and a whole lot of humility and a whole lot of grace for other people and their failings and their struggles and their hardship. And what this will also do is it'll help you in the midst of your ministry and walking with other people to continue to walk with them. Because you need it. They need it. And just upping and leaving and not continuing, that's not what we should do. We are commanded, Paul says, to bear each other's burden. That's in our local churches. That's in our lives. We should be deeply invested and we should be concerned with each other and about each other. Now, I'm not saying as well that we shouldn't have friends, that we can't have friends outside of our local church. I do. I have many great friends that are outside of a local church, any local church that I've ever been part of. And we care about each other. We pray for each other. We encourage one another. But the primary place where our lives are to be centered on is obviously Christ, but also we are to do life with God's people. We need to get to know the people in our local church and to do life with one another. And so that's why I have focused this primarily on doing this kind of friendship in the context of the local church, because I think it's important to say, but by extension, I'm saying this is what our relationship with other Christians outside of our local churches should look like as well. I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of Equip You in Grace. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.